What could you accomplish if you just had a little more confidence? Self-doubt and imposter syndrome can plague all of us, but for various reasons, women are the most likely to experience these limits. A new book offers solutions, and it's called Closing the Confidence Gap: Boost Your Peace, Your Potential, and Your Paycheck by Kelly Thompson. Kelly is a women's leadership coach and speaker and the founder of the Clarity and Confidence Women's Leadership Program. Here she is to share five of her big ideas.
Hi, I'm Kelly Thompson, a women's leadership coach, author, and speaker. I've spent the majority of my career working and leading teams in male-dominated fields like banking and technology. Now off on my own running my coaching and training practice, I've coached and trained hundreds of women to lead with more confidence and create careers they love. But I noticed there was a gap, specifically a confidence gap, that impacted women's ability to advance to the rooms where decisions were made. That's why I wrote this book, Closing the Confidence Gap: Boost Your Peace, Your Potential, and Your Paycheck. To close the confidence gap and see more women showing up in their full potential at work, it's a both-and approach. We need more women leaders at the top of organizations, and women need the tools to own who they are, trust themselves, and take brave next steps in their career. Closing the confidence gap will show you how to advance with confidence, despite the systemic issues that women face every day at work. Big idea number one: to help women build confidence, we need more women leaders in the rooms where decisions are made. What would you do if you had a little more confidence? Would you change careers, ask for a raise, run for office, speak your mind, or start your business? When I asked almost 500 women this question, I heard the answers above, but doubt and imposter feelings held women back and stalled their growth. And research confirmed what I observed: there's a confidence gap. A study at Wharton Business School found that women tended to outperform men on a standard test, but men felt more confident than women in their performance. In addition, men were more likely to self-promote their efforts, which led to more job offers and higher starting salaries. In 2021, women held just 6% of CEO positions in the United States, and only 24% of C-suite leaders are women. Women of color remain embarrassingly underrepresented at every level of leadership. With systemic gender equality gaps in the workplace today, it's no wonder that so many women are undervaluing themselves and their abilities. In my own corporate tenure, I worked at organizations voted best places to work for mothers. Yet there were no women in the C-suite. The unconscious message was clear. I had great benefits, but I wasn't invited to lead beyond a certain rung of the ladder. My growth would be capped because there were no women at the top. I felt helpless to change it. That's just the way it was. To close the confidence gap and see more women showing up in their full potential at work, it's not just about building more self-confidence. The systems at work need to change, and it starts by seeing more women leaders at the top of organizations, including elected officials. Research shows that hiring women into leadership positions helps associate women with traits essential for successful leadership, and it results in improved company profitability. Both the doubtful thoughts and the systemic issues are expensive. They cost women and their organizations in their peace, their potential, and their paychecks. Big idea number two: pull the pedestal. Stop overestimating others' intelligence and underestimating your own. When my daughter was around age 4, she started to develop a condition I call the butt firsts. When I would ask her to do something like clean her room, she'd immediately respond with things like, "Mom, but first I need to get a drink or put on socks, brush my doll's hair, etc., etc." It was her special way of stalling or avoiding any activity that brought her discomfort. The thing is, we never really grow out of the butt firsts. They just get more sophisticated. We cite all the reasons why we aren't ready or qualified to speak up, go for the promotion, or start the side hustle. Things like, "Oh, but first I need to get more experience, go back to school, wait for the right time, etc." We can feel like we're on the verge of being found out as unqualified, just lucky, or a fraud. These feelings are often called imposter syndrome. As this term has become more widely used in women's circles and workplaces, is our normal human doubt being reframed as imposter syndrome? It's human and healthy to feel doubt. And it's also likely that you'll feel it anytime you try something new or stretch your comfort zone. Research finds that 70% of people will experience imposter syndrome, at some point in their career. Everyone feels doubt. Imposter syndrome tends to get labeled as a woman's issue. However, data shows that people report more intense imposter feelings when they've experienced racial discrimination, if they're in a group who typically hasn't seen themselves in leadership, or brilliance is prized above all else at work. Resolving imposter feelings is a both-and issue. We need to fix the systemic issues that perpetuate it, while also providing individuals with support and validation to work with these very real feelings. We can start by remembering we cannot criticize our way into more confidence and compassionately name and normalize these feelings. As a coach, I can tell you that leaders of all levels experience these very common feelings, even if they hide them well. How often have you put these leaders or other colleagues on a pedestal, believing that they know better than you? This may cause you to feel heightened self-doubt and stay more silent than you want to be. With myself and my clients, I lovingly call this pedestal syndrome. Pull the pedestal and own your talents, your unique skills, and points of view. It's time to stop overestimating everyone else's intelligence and underestimating your own. Big idea number 3, know what you stand for so you don't fall for everything. If you are a high-achieving, focused person, it's so easy to get caught up in checking all the boxes and climbing ladders. We don't think to stop and ask, do I even want this? Is this aligned to my values? I've been there. My clients have been there, climbing the ladder of success, only to get to the top to find that it's leaning against the wrong building. When you find this out, it sucks. It's not just a, oh, good to know, I'll climb back down and switch buildings and climb back up. The system of work hasn't been designed for women. It was designed for men by men when women stayed home. So it can be easy to unconsciously fall in line with copying a leadership approach that may not truly align with our unique style and values, and to climb the ladder without stopping to check the location. It can be seen as normal to conform to a culture of hustling and overworking. This conformity kills confidence. Knowing your values gives you the discernment and the confidence to know, not between right and wrong, but between what looks right and what is right. In your work, there will be ambiguity, competing goals, and people conflict. There will be competing schedule demands and critical budgeting and spending decisions. There are many colleagues and bosses who have opinions on the right thing for your career. People are eager to give you advice on the best decision you should make, and it's tempting to go along with popular opinion. There are just so many yeses and nos in a day. Your values inform you as to how you'll show up and which action you take in executing that choice. Knowing your values helps you choose your best yeses and nos, no matter what's popular, culturally appealing, or demanded of you. Big idea number 4, dump the unpaid work and shift from doer to leader. When I was in corporate America, we'd promote people from employee to leader, and we just assumed a magic transformation would happen, that they'd shed the identity they had as a doer and transform into a leader who was comfortable coaching, delegating, and making hard decisions. This is especially challenging for women who navigate an extra layer of challenges like the unpaid workload. According to research published by Harvard, women received 44% more requests to volunteer at work than men. Many of these requests were for non-promotable tasks, those that benefit the organization, but likely don't contribute to someone's performance evaluation and career advancement. In my experience, I can frequently recall many instances when I was called to lead fundraisers or committees, which took significant time and effort for the promise of exposure. Unfortunately, that exposure didn't materialize into performance review mentions or additional compensation. First, organizations need to continue waking up to evaluating the policies they have that keep women stuck in doer mode, including equitable distribution of unpaid office work, like note-taking and party planning and restocking supplies and volunteer opportunities. Second, women have permission not to be the person that's constantly rushing in and volunteering to save the day at home or work. It's hard to build sustainable confidence if you're consistently overworked and overwhelmed. Saying no builds just as much confidence as saying yes. Slow down and discover what is yours to own so you can shift from doer to leader by asking, is this truly a development opportunity for me? Who else would benefit from it? What does support without takeover look like from me? What can be outsourced because it's non-promotable work? In my own life and work, I had to examine the reasons why I said yes when I wanted to say no and get more comfortable clearly expressing my needs and having clear conversations about what I will and will not own. Every conversation you have is teaching people what you will tolerate and what you won't. You have the opportunity in every conversation to set the tone for your leadership, for the team, and for yourself. This ultimately grows everyone's confidence and results. Big idea number 5. To close the gender pay gap, we need to normalize money conversations. I was a curious kid who also didn't mind asking my parents about adult topics, like how much their house payment was, how my baby sister was born so many years after me, and how much money they made at work. I can still hear my mother's well-meaning words to me. Honey, it's not polite to talk about money, and you definitely shouldn't ask people what they make. So many of the messages that we've heard about salary, asking for what you want, and our beliefs around money started in our families, but continue in the workplace. For women, this is expensive, as the wage gap continually shows that women are paid less than men. A 2016 study from Columbia University looked at the mental health consequences of gender wage gaps and found that when women make less money, they're 2.4 times more likely to experience depression and 4 times more likely to have anxiety. My personal experience as an HR professional confirms much of what the data reveals. Women hesitate to apply for roles they are fully qualified for, ask for lower starting salaries, and negotiate less often than men. Then, that lower-than-market salary impacts her confidence and well-being. But it's not just on women to close the gender pay and wealth gap. Governments and corporations must examine their systems and policies to improve transparency and remove the barriers to pay equity. About 52% of women say they talk about money with friends, compared to 61% of men, according to U.S. Bank. This is important because the more women get comfortable talking about money, both in their personal finances and with employers, the better chance there is to close the gaps. There are 5 money conversations every woman should have: to challenge the systems, notice your self-talk, negotiate your salary, evaluate your savings, and ask for support for professional development. Know your worth and make your asks. Thank you for listening, and I hope you love the book.
Thank you, Kelly. That was Kelly Thompson with 5 big ideas from Closing the Confidence Gap, Boost Your Peace, Your Potential, and Your Paycheck. You might also want to check out our book bite for Win When They Say You Won't by Daphne Jones. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.